For 50 years now, the Syracuse New Times has been the premier weekly paper that connects Central New Yorkers to cultural events and happenings.
And for 50 years, it's been free of cost for readers. Until now. Coming up, a chat with New Times publisher Bill Broad on the future of a community staple.
That's what's happening in the 315.
Digital content on WAER is supported by SRC Incorporated, a not-for-profit defense contractor working to create an exceptional employee experience through respect, teamwork, and the freedom to innovate. Learn more at srcinc.com/careers.
On March 13th, the Syracuse New Times announced to its readers that it was changing its free ad-based business model to a subscription service.
Joining us to discuss what this means for the Central New York community is Bill Broad, publisher and CEO of the Syracuse New Times. Bill, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Pleasure to
be here.
Thanks for joining us. For those that might not be familiar, we get new people coming to town all the time. First of all, the New Times is turning 50 this year. When is the actual anniversary?
It was, we think it was February 24th. And curiously enough, from where we are sitting at this moment, it was about 100 yards from here where the New Times was formed, right at the corner of Euclid and Comstock.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So tell us a little bit about the New Times and how you see it fitting within the media landscape in Syracuse.
Well, the New Times has always been about arts, entertainment, dining, community events. It's always been a forward-looking publication. It doesn't report necessarily the news. And when you come out weekly, it's pretty hard to get into a time-based news cycle. So we've always tried to be forward-looking and let people know the things that are happening within their community that they would either want to know about or they really need to know so that they can be part of the discussion.
And so for a weekly publication that, like you said, is trying to touch on really what's going on here in the area, what are you operating within in terms of staff and resources?
Well, we are a traditional publication, so we have editors, writers, copywriters, designers. We have delivery people up until our new change. And, we produce a newspaper very similar to the way any newspaper is published, except every Wednesday we do it instead of every single day. So our business model is to try to stay out of the time-based news and stay in the information age of to let people know about significant things that are happening, whether it be entertainment-based or significant community issues.
And you have a few, handful of ongoing annual events that you are either a part of or sponsor. I know I attended one where it was the the annual theater awards.
Yeah, it's called the SALT Awards.
Syracuse
Area Live Theater. And that is basically the Syracuse version of the Tonys. And what we do is we have an academy that goes out and sees dozens of hundreds of productions every year. And they actually rate them and they pick best actor, best actress, best supporting actor, actress, choreography, lighting. And, there's, I think, 55 individual awards. And they have three categories of professional, semi-professional, and community theater. So, we're not pitting a church group against Syracuse Stage, for instance. So it's appropriate. So that's the SALT Awards. We also have the Best of Syracuse, which is our Reader's Choice Awards. And the Best of Syracuse has been hugely popular. Last few years, we've had 30 to 40,000 people individually vote for best hamburger, best massage place, best pedicure, best pet servicer. There's all kinds of categories. I think we had 138 categories last year, something like that. And then we also do our annual street painting festival, which is we take over Montgomery Street in front of City Hall during Arts Week, and about 100 or so artists from very young kids who probably get more chalk on themselves than they do on the sidewalk all the way up to pretty professional people. And again, we have adult, teen, and youth awards for that. And it's just a way to decorate the city and help celebrate Arts Week with all the other great things that are going on then.
So you're pretty embedded in the in the cultural scene and cultural community. And so what do you see is the mission of the New Times?
The mission of the New Times really is to celebrate what's great about Syracuse. I mean, that's really a core focus, and just to let people know the variety of things there are to do. I mean, I get challenged all the time when people say there's nothing to do in Syracuse, and I say, man, you just don't even know what you're saying, because there's so much to do in Syracuse you couldn't possibly keep up with it all. All you have to do is open up our calendar of events in the paper and realize that that's also a fraction of what there is. We can't publish everything in the paper that there is to do. So there's tons to do, and it's a four-season town, and whether you want to do inside, outside, arts, entertainment, music, dining, there's all kinds of things to do.
You gave that 30,000 to 40,000 number in terms of people who responded to that Best of Syracuse poll, essentially. So in terms of reach, do you have any idea how many businesses or homes your publication gets out to on a weekly basis?
Well, right now we print and distribute about 30,000 copies over a 6-county footprint, and it's Onondaga County and the counties around us in the population seats. So it goes up to Oswego, out through Auburn, down toward north of Cortland, and then out through the Madison County corridor, out basically to about Turning Stone. So we think there's a footprint of around, I don't know, if you drew a circle, probably around 600,000 people. So 30,000 copies get distributed there. And, you know, with the pass-along readership, you know, one person will read it. And I think one of the greatest ways to demonstrate that is go have a sandwich at the Brooklyn Pickle and watch somebody pick up a copy, sit down, read it a little bit, eat their sandwich, and then go put the copy back on the pile and somebody else picks it up. So we assume that we get a pass-along readership of about 2.5. So 30,000 copies get read by maybe 80,000 people in a week.
Wow, those are some real impressive numbers for a weekly publication. So we've kind of talked a little bit at the top how you guys are moving to this subscription model. But before we talk about the specifics of that, I know you guys spent a considerable amount of time talking to your readers to see what it is that they wanted from you guys moving forward. Just give us a little bit of insight to those conversations. What did you guys take away from the people you talked to?
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. We surveyed our readers in a traditional kind of a sterile way. But then we also had listening sessions where I actually went out in the community and, I sat down at different businesses, coffee shops, and said, anybody who wants to show up, I'll buy the coffee. And just talk to me about what you like, what you'd like to see changed, you know, nostalgia, whatever they wanted to talk about. I just really wanted to kind of get inside our readers' head. We had some great conversations, things that they really said they want more of what we do. You know, lots of people said we'd love it if there were more stories about the kinds of things you already report on. There was a lot of talk about tell us what's going on with the city and the county, especially with our new elected officials and the spirit of cooperation. They really wanted to see an unbiased and a clean view of what's going on. So
they want a little more journalism.
A little more, yeah, definitely more journalism. But, you know, they also were really crystal clear that said, don't lose your roots. We still want to know about music. We still want to know about new businesses opening up. We still want to know about food opportunities. We took an angle on the I-81 situation that was way different, where we actually looked historically at what was the 15th Ward before I-81 was built, and then brought it up to today and kind of postulated on what could happen to either help restore or make sure we don't repeat some of the mistakes that people are acknowledging were made back then. So, you know, we try to take a different tack on our journalism because, you know, there's so much of the same things reported in so many different ways that, you know, we work hard to be different.
Now, you're turning or just turned 50, and that's one of the oldest alternative papers in the nation, right?
Yes, we are now the oldest still in continuous print. There were two others, one in Boston and one in New York City. Both have ceased printing. So we have assumed the mantle of the oldest, not because we wanted to, but sadly because two ahead of us ceased to print. So we're working hard not to have that happen.
So for 50 years, folks have been able to access this content free of charge, and now we're going to a subscription-based service. So let us know about your thinking and research into that, what you've discovered, reasons for going this way.
Well, it's just simply it's a matter of economics. So, we write stories, we copy edit them, we lay them out, we photograph, we print, and deliver. And for 50 years, the business model has worked where we could use the advertising revenue we sold and have the cost be covered. The world has changed. Our business has been disrupted like, even your business has been disrupted. There's no business immune from that. We are just reacting to the fact that two significant things have happened in the publishing world. One is the customers that we deal with, the small local businesses. That's probably 98% of our revenue from our local businesses here in Central New York. You know, they've been impacted by the big internet retailers. That's cut their business. They've cut their ability to spend money on advertising, and that's a hurt for us. And then secondly, there's a new player in the world of advertising, which is the digital world, and that's the Facebooks and the Googles and the Yelps and the other platforms like that. So they've taken a pretty sizable chunk, and the combination of the two of them has just left too little revenue for us to continue to operate under that old business model. And frankly, the world has moved to a subscription-based world. I mean, I bet you we all have subscriptions to an Amazon Prime, a Netflix, a wine club. There's, you know,
I have subscriptions that I didn't even know I had.
Yeah.
And ones I can't even get out of.
And that's kind of the way the world is moving, where people are saying, this is what I want, this is when I want it, and this is how I want it delivered. And the subscription world is kind of the new frontier. And, you know, our goal in this process is to shift to that model where we're looking to have our readers give us a dollar a week, and for that we will print, edit, layout, photograph, print, and deliver to our readers. And a dollar a week, if you think about the cost of a first-class post office stamp to deliver a newspaper, I think we think we got a pretty reasonable price point.
So you sent a letter out to readers just the other day. What's been the early feedback?
Oh, it's been great. I've got a pile of emails that I need to respond to, and they're people who are just they get a receipt when they log their subscription in, and they can respond back to that just with a note. And there's been so many just great comments about, you know, I've been reading the paper for years. It's a great deal. I'm so happy to be able to support it and keep it going. And so, and there's the naysayers. We've gotten some comments on our Facebook that, hey, it's been free forever. How come I have to pay for it? And, you know, I understand and respect people's opinion.
We don't.
Well, I will say it is a lot to ask for somebody to pay for something when they've received it for free. So we've actually made some nice changes. So we're upgrading the product that we're going to start to deliver on April 24th. It won't be a folded tabloid newspaper format. It'll be a little more magazine-like. It will be bound. It will be printed on a higher grade of paper called Bright White, which will make the photographs pop. Newsprint tends to have a lot of bleeding of the ink, and you know, photographs tend to get a little bit jumbled or muddy. So it'll be a nicer format. We're also enhancing the e-reader capability, because our subscription is a print and a digital, not a print or a digital. It's print and digital. And our e-reader capability will be a completely responsive design. You can read it on a phone, a tablet, or a desktop. You can pick the format you like. You can look a page view. You can have a river. You can do a bunch of different things. It will allow us to embed videos and multiple pictures into it. We'll be able to link stories to other stories that are similar. And one of the features that I'm kind of excited about is we're going to have a feature that allows the paper to be read aloud. So if you're visually impaired, which I think I am, trying to read on my phone now, you can actually have the paper read aloud to you.
Nice.
So there's some enhancements made both in the digital side and in the print side.
Now, there's some things that, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's some things that people will still be able to access digitally, say, but without going behind a paywall. Like, is the community calendar, for example, going to be something people can still see?
Yeah, that's a great question. Our community calendar is going to be accessible. And also, we have a ticketing platform. So our ticketing platform will still be accessible. So right now, our web people are working to figure out where the paywall line goes. And there will be some outside of it and some inside of it. And, you know, more to come on that. I don't know exactly, but there's a... There will be some things that are still accessible, for sure.
Are you projecting any growing pains?
You know, anytime you change like this, I mean, we're like a cat on a hot tin roof right now. You know, it's you just never know. I mean, it's been really great. Some of the comments I've been visiting some of our politicos and some of the, you know, the people that are visible in the community have gotten great feedback and such encouragement. But we still have a lot of work to do. This is a big change. We're not on the bleeding edge, but we're on the leading edge of papers like ours across the country. And I'm getting a lot of publishers from around the country emailing me and calling me saying, good luck and tell us how it goes and, you know, let us know what the recipe is because we probably need to do the same. And quite frankly, the free paper model is probably gone permanently. Just there's been so much disruption, so much change in the publishing world that if you can't ask your readers to pay for your content, then you probably are, your content is not differentiable. You know, that's just the world we live in.
So how can folks get a subscription?
Real simple, my.syracusenewtimes.com.
Oh, and how much is it? Did we talk about that?
It's $1 a week.
Okay, that's right.
So on May 15th, it will actually go to $1.50 a week. But we're giving our first movers a chance to get in on a special price.
And you guys are officially moving over to the paid subscription model in?
April 24th will be the first of our new versions.
I would imagine that there is a significant amount of cost savings. When you describe printing 30,000 papers versus the number of people that you think are actually touching those papers, going to a subscription model will save a significant amount in paper costs?
I don't know about the paper cost, but certainly in the delivery cost. Mm-hmm. Because right now we have 18 delivery drivers that go to 1,100 locations every Wednesday, and it's a pretty hectic activity. You know, they show up, pick up bundles of papers, and you know everybody has 75 or 100 stops, and they're programmed, and a lot of them take off really early in the morning to try to beat the traffic, and it's a go activity. So that will go away, and the U.S. Post Office will deliver it. Hopefully, everybody in at least in Onondaga County will get it the same day on Wednesday in the mail. So that will go away. The printing costs, it's hard to say today how many will still be printed. It will be based on the number of people that subscribe.
Yeah, I guess I'm assuming if you are now printing 30,000, but you're for the first year you have 15 or 20,000 subscriptions. Just wondering what the cost is if you're printing 10,000 less in terms of paper, ink, and all the materials that you need to.
Yep. Will be a savings there, but surprisingly. When you go from 20,000 to 30,000, there's not a lot of additional cost.
Really?
Because the real cost is in the setup of the printing presses.
Okay.
So to go from 20,000 to 30,000 is probably a matter of I can't say off the top of my head, but you'd probably be surprised how little the difference is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
To go from 0 to 5,000 is the biggest cost, and then 5 to 10 is less, and 10 to 20 is less still, and 20 to 30 it goes down. All you're doing is running the press longer.
Okay.
So with changes coming to the industry that you've sort of already acknowledged, and we've talked about the fact that you guys are shifting to this new model, what role do you want people to know that you're going to be playing in the community?
Well, we want to tell the good news of what's going on in Central New York. And, you know, we feel like we are beyond Syracuse, but we are telling the good news of Central New York. You know, way more than our fair share of bad press and knocks about, you know, oh, it's too snowy, it's too dreary, it's rainy, it's, you know, there's so many great things about Central New York. I mean, we've all chosen to live here. We're not idiots, and everybody listening to this has chosen to live here. So what we're trying to do is look for the good in Central New York and just let people know about things that are happening around them that they might not otherwise discover because it's not news per se where somebody's done something that singles them out. We're trying to let people know about things that are happening around them that you wouldn't otherwise have discovered.
Well, this all sounds very exciting, and we wish you the best of luck. Bill Broad, publisher and CEO of the Syracuse New Times. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
I And you can find more information about the New Times and subscription information at SyracuseNewTimes.com. Thanks for joining us for another edition of the 315. You can subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. And if you do, would you leave us a review? It really helps us get the show in front of more Central New York enthusiasts.
And after that, why not head over to WAER.org, where you'll find archived episodes of the 315, along with other WAER original podcasts, like the Pop Life podcast, where we'll be breaking down each episode of the final season of Game of Thrones. I'm Joe Lee.
And I'm Kevin Kloss. Thanks for listening.